Good morning. I salute you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you for making the effort to be in the Lord's house this day. And I pray that what we do here today would be right and pleasing in His sight. I'm always reminded when I preach of verses out of Psalm 19. Verse 14, it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I pray that what I say and what I think would not be my words, but rather the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go ahead and turn this on. I just recently got back from the better part of 3 weeks in Yucatan. And during that time, I think there was only one, maybe 2 days that we didn't hold services someplace. And out of those services, I was blessed to be able to speak 12 times down there. And the Lord was gracious and generous to us in helping us to be able to find the right words in their language, to be able to speak to them in Spanish. It was truly a blessing. We had many wonderful meetings either in churches or in people's homes or in people's front yards. Wherever we could meet, wherever was convenient, we would gather together. And in every case, they always said, "Please give our love to our brothers and sisters back in the United States. They're a very loving and precious people. And they have much love for us up here and are always praying for us and for our work up here and our health." And I told them, and I hope I'm not wrong, that we are praying for them also. This trip in Yucatan, I would have to characterize it as the trip of the birthdays. There were at least 3 birthday celebrations that I know of, and for those of you who are into decorating and making cakes, just let me say that the cakes up here are vastly superior to the cakes down there. There's something they do to their cake that is interesting. They're very pretty, but I wouldn't recommend eating them. I'd like to share just a few photographs with you here to show you how they celebrate birthdays in Yucatan. And the first one is a young man named Angel. Now that he's a little bit older, he's not called Angelito anymore. He's called Angel, and he's a very fine young man. And the service started with music from the young people's choir. This was in Yobain, and they are very diligent to sing at just about every service and are doing very, very well. Service was opened by Placido's brother, Efrain. And he frequently opens and closes the services in Yobain because often there's only one minister there. And so although he's not an ordained minister, he does take charge of the meetings, and he does an excellent job. And I would ask your prayers for Efrain because he's a very diligent and dedicated servant to the Lord. And I have great expectations that he will be called to a greater service. And I would ask for your prayers for him that this would, if this is the Lord's will, that this would come to pass. This is Angel. He's 9 years old and just a very, very fine, sweet, loving young man. The last day we were there, the night before we left, we spent the night at his home with his father, Angel, and his mother, Nelly. Thank you. It's really hard to keep all the names straight because they don't use names. They say my husband, my wife, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, and so you rarely hear the names. And we were sitting around speaking, and it was a sort of a warm night, and his father's kind of a big guy and he sweats a lot. And Angel noticed this, and he went into the kitchen and he got a paper towel and he came out and he blotted his father's face. And he did that twice. I thought, this is a very sweet, loving young man to even think of that. And he's a really neat little kid. Anyway, it's his birthday. Our brother Don gave the sermon, speaking about the responsibilities of young people as they grow up to think about their service to the Lord. There was then a prayer for Angel and his family, that Angel would indeed, grow to love and accept the Lord as his Savior and to serve him all of his days. And following the service was the party. And they've caught on to the candles that won't blow out. And boy, he just kept huffing and puffing until he finally got all those candles blown out. And he did a really good job. But they have cake and sandwiches and Coke and sit around outside. You can kind of, if you look off over to the left, you can see how they're all sort of bundled up. This trip, the weather was unusually cool. And that night, it was probably, I'm guessing it might have been 70, 72 degrees outside. And they were just freezing to death. It was, they said, well, aren't you cold? I said, no, this is perfect. I love it. They thought I was crazy. And then I'd show them the pictures of snow in my backyard, and they just couldn't comprehend that. This is the pinata that you usually see at birthdays, and the kids each take turns taking a whack at it, trying to get the candy out, and eventually Angel's parents dug the candy out and threw it to everybody, and they were all very excited to catch the candy. The next birthday was a surprise. Only it wasn't a surprise to the person who had the birthday. It was a surprise to me. I had been told that this was a cumpleaños, which is the very fancy involved 15th birthday for a young lady. And it's kind of like in our society up here, like a coming out party or something like that. And it's a very, very special time for the young lady. And so Brother Don and Placido's mother, Matilde, and I went to this service, and I was asked to preach for the service. So I'm sitting up there, and I'm all ready to go. And Don and I kept wondering, well, where's the young lady? Because you would expect to see her all dressed up and beautifully dressed, and she never came out, and she never came out. And as it turned out, here are the people. Notice they're still all bundled up. The service was outdoors. And so as it turned out, it wasn't a young lady at all. It was a 25-year-old young man married with a child. And this was the surprise, because I could very well have planned a sermon for a 15-year-old young lady. Fortunately, the Lord knew what the service was going to be, and he gave me a different message. Actually, he gave me the message that I'll be delivering here in just a few moments. But that was a surprise. Here they are, all bundled up. So here was the real quinceañeros. This young lady, we would say Irene, they would say Irene, or Irene. She is a member of a very, very small group in Cancabchain, Hacienda. And it's, there's no church building. They meet in the home of this young lady. And they're extremely poor. There's nothing going on in this town. They're just a bunch of little houses around the center square, and that's all that's there. I don't think there are any stores. There's nothing. And the people are very, very poor. But her quinceañeros was coming up, and these things can get really expensive. I mean, it's like a wedding. And so the people of Yobain decided that they would make it possible for this young lady to have her 15 años. And one of the girls who was about the same size offered to let Irene use her dress, her 15 años dress that she had used. And somebody got the cake made and the food and the pop. And I think almost all of our congregation from Yobain showed up at the service. So there was a huge crowd, and it was really just a joy. And here she is. She's a lovely, sweet young lady, member of the church, very dedicated, just a precious, precious young lady. So the way these things work, you're ushered in by your mother and your father. Her mother is also a member of the church. And there's our little choir singing again. And this is the setting outside of one of the homes. This is Santiago. He sings like a bird in kind of the old-fashioned way of singing down there. And he sings at practically every service. Has a truly lovely voice. He's a joy to listen to. And you can see the quinceañera and her parents sitting there in the front row. She offered a prayer for the service. And then our brother Don gave the sermon. And then there was a special prayer for her, and I don't know how well these things are showing up there, but she has her hands on a Bible that they then gave to her as a gift. This is her mother who was asked to offer the closing prayer. And then the cake came out, and those of you who have ever, I already see the smiles, ever attended a 15 años or a birthday, the tradition is that you take the first bite of the cake, only you can't use your hands. You have to go like this and get the first bite. And you know what happens. Those of you who have ever attended one of these things, you get your face smashed into the cake. And this happened to me once because I didn't know it wasn't my birthday, but we were at a birthday party and they had this chant what is it that they chant? You can tell me. That's it, and that means take a bite, you know, and they keep chanting, take a bite, you know, and a bunch of them were surrounding me, you know, and I had this piece of cake, and I said, oh, okay, you know, and they told me how to do it. Well, I didn't know the trick, and I ended up with a face full of cake, too, so it was fun. But so when I think when we think of birthdays, we think of gifts, and I want to talk today about gifts. But I want to talk about spiritual gifts. Gifts that come from the Lord. We know that gift giving at birthdays and births was a tradition in biblical times. We know of the gifts that the wise men brought to Christ. And these gifts are a way of saying, you are someone special. Or, you're my friend, or I love you, or I wish you joy on your birthday. This is why we do this. And in the same sort of way, God has given us gifts because He loves us. And we are special in His eyes because we are His children. And if you'll read with me in the 7th chapter of Matthew, I'm going to begin at the 9th verse. And talking about giving, and I love these verses, chapter 7 of Matthew, beginning at verse 9. What man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Those of you who have sons, and you think about your little guy, if he asked for a piece of bread, would you give him a rock? No, of course not, because you love him too much for that. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And indeed, the Lord gives us gifts. He gives us talents and abilities, spiritual gifts. We can read in the Book of Mormon in Moroni, in chapter 10, chapter 10, verse 8. On page 775. And again I exhort you, my brethren, that ye deny not the gifts of God, for they are many, and they come from the same God. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it is the same God who worketh all in all, and they are given by the manifestations of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. God gives us gifts for our profit, for our use. And there is an expectation. When we receive a gift, let's say it's Christmas or birthday, and somebody gives me a gift, what is the expectation immediately? That I will thank the person that gave me the gift. Now, let's say you gave me a gift and I just kind of looked at it and said, oh, that's interesting, and set it aside. Didn't say thank you, didn't even open the box and admire it. That would really be ungrateful. And you would probably not be inclined to ever give me another gift. Well, I think God could very well be the same way. There is an expectation that we will thank Him for the gifts that He gives us. And there are a couple of ways that we can do this. Of course, the first one is that we vocally thank Him. And the way we do that is in prayer. When I think of examples of prayer and thanksgiving, my mind is always directed back to Psalms. And there are so many to pick that I just kind of chose one. Psalm 95. And I'll read the first seven verses of Psalm 95. A prayer of thanksgiving and praise. Oh come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. To acknowledge His greatness and His goodness and His kindness towards us, and to thank Him for the gifts that He's given us. Now remember, I mentioned that if I didn't ever open the box, if I didn't ever open the gift, then that's not showing gratitude. But if I open that box and I remove that gift and I accept that gift and I use it, or say maybe it's a tie, okay, and I don't remember where the tie came from, but I suspect if my wife gave it to me, every time I wear that tie, she's gonna remember that she gave me that tie, and in my wearing it, it's a way of saying thank you for the tie. We need to be using the gifts that God gave us. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 14 says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Neglect not the gift which is in thee. If God has given us a gift, we can't just set it on the shelf. That's neglecting. That's not being grateful to Him. Verse 12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Our example is one of the ways that we show forth our thanks to God for just making us the kind of person that we are. If we're baptized and He's given us that gift of the Holy Spirit, then we let that Spirit show through our lives and how we live, what we say, what we do, what the image that we portray. We can use those gifts by serving Him. If we have a gift of some kind of an ability, then we need to use that gift to serve and glorify God. Psalms 102 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." I love that verse. I use it a lot. And I think about it a lot. If we feel like it's a burden and it's horrible responsibility and drudgery, then we're sort of being ungrateful for the gift. But if we can serve Him with gladness, if we can say, "Thank you, Lord, that you have given me the opportunity to serve you today," and it's an attitude. It's an attitude of thanksgiving to God. One of my favorite examples of this is in the 9th chapter of Acts. I'm going to begin at the 36th verse of the 9th chapter of Acts. "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments, which Dorcas made while she was with them." And so they wanted Peter and the disciples to come to give them comfort and solace and to celebrate the life of the sister who had departed. But Peter knew the Lord's will in this matter. And Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And so, the Lord recognized the gift that she had, and that she had used this gift to glorify Him in making beautiful garments. And so He granted her an additional space of time. That by granting her this gift of being raised from the dead, she had a certain bit of notoriety about her, which gave her even more opportunity and ability to serve the Lord by using the gifts which she had. I believe each of us has some gift or talent or ability that God has given us. And I want to ask you, what gift has God given you? Or gifts has God given you? And how are you using those gifts to serve God? Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not indicting anyone because I see this all the time. I see us using gifts. And it brings me great joy. But I want to encourage each of us to consider even more deeply what it is that the Lord has given us that we might use to serve Him. We frequently see people who have the gift of music and art and using those things to serve the Lord. Are teaching. Some people are just natural teachers, and it's a joy when they can use that ability to serve the Lord. Sometimes just the ability to understand and explain something, whether it's scriptures, whether it's something going on around us or how something works. Some people just have that ability, that insight to be able to just see how something works and explain it to somebody else. Or reading or writing. We have a number of people in the church who write pretty regularly for the Advocate, or they write books and tracts. This is a wonderful gift. We need more of this. As one of the editors of The Advocate, I'll say it again, we need more of this. That's one of our burdens, is coming up with material. And if you can read and write in Spanish, we would appreciate that too, because there's a hunger, there's a thirst by our Spanish-speaking community, both here and in Mexico and Honduras, and we're moving into Peru and Argentina and Chile. We need more things written in Spanish about the Church of Christ and about the gospel of Jesus. Or like Dorcas, sewing. Sewing's a wonderful gift. And I love to see a properly made garment. And this can be used to serve the Lord. Some people are really good at fixing things or building things. Like our men's service organization. What a wonderful blessing to have this group of guys that they know how to do stuff. They know how to fix things and make things. And boy, that's a great, great talent. Taking care of children or the elderly, that takes a special gift. And that's something that we can do to help each other, to serve the Lord. Counseling people. Some people are just extremely talented at being able to evaluate a situation that somebody has and say, well, with the Lord's help and with prayer, I think maybe this is a solution for your problem. Whatever our gift is, whatever our talent is, it's our responsibility, it's our duty to use that talent to serve the Lord with gladness. So, one last question. What's the most important gift? Let's look in Romans. I love it when the answer is just right there in black and white. Romans 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the greatest gift, that promise of life eternal with Christ and his Father. This is a gift that's promised to everyone who will serve him to the end. It's a gift that's promised. It's a gift that Christ is holding that out to us. And it's in a box. And it's all beautifully wrapped. And it's got your name on it. And he's waiting for you to open the box and accept the gift. But if you set the box on the shelf and just admire the wrapping, then the gift's never going to come out. It's a gift that we have to accept. And we accept it by doing what he's told us to do. To believe on him, to repent, to be baptized, to receive that Holy Spirit that will guide us through our lives, and then to endure to the end. And it's my prayer that each of us will accept that gift or continue to use that gift that he has offered to us, that we can serve him to the end, that in that final day we can stand before God unashamed, that we would hear those glorious words. Those words have been read many times across this pulpit. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Whether those things are our gifts or how we use them, how we live our life. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. We have this great expectation that we may someday hear those words, those beautiful words. Enter into the rest, into the joy of thy Lord. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be with you today. I'm thankful for the prayers that you offered on my behalf while I was gone. I'm thankful for the comfort and help that you gave to my family in my absence. And I prayed that the service that we were able to perform, myself and Brother Don and Brother Jay, while we were down in Mexico, would be something that would sink into the hearts and minds of our brothers and sisters down there, not through anything that we did, but through the willingness of God's servants to truly serve him and to love him with joy and gladness. God bless you each.